Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, even though I'm wearing my Coco's gear here. I've been visiting all of our sponsors here the last couple of days. I actually have warm Pizza John's pizza sitting right on my counter right now that I just retrieved. And if you're listening to this on a Monday, you're screwed because you can't get Pizza John's on Monday. Also, 4th of July is coming up, and I was reminded that that's happening. So if you want your Pizza John's fix, get it. And Luke Jones is going to join me right now. He will not be at Sorrento's on Wednesday, Sorrento of Arbutus. We will be there all day on Wednesday doing some fantastic radio, working on some Copa Mundial, as well as the Knicks Afterglow and all the other stuff that's going on. But I went to Pizza John's tonight. And I don't know. I must have heard your echo or something. I got a meat sauce pizza with green pepper, mushroom, and olive on it. I kind of like went like without a sausage, without a pepperoni. Delicious, but I did the meat sauce thing because like I look at your hat 5 days a week, and it makes me, I think of you. How are you, man? Wild weekend with those Padres. Man, we had some beanball. We had some awful defense. We had some Mason Miller. We had some Manny Machado flashing some leather. Gunnar Henderson flashing some concrete. As well, I don't know, dude. It's they're going on the West Coast, and you have to stay up late to stay with them here the next week and a half or so, right?
Yeah, and I think this feels like a pretty pivotal West Coast trip. I mean, they haven't followed up that great 7-3 homestand with much to write home about since then. It hasn't been a disaster, but you look at it, they've kind of reverted to this 500-ish. They've fallen back a few games further away from 500. I mean, even this series, I mean, it starts out really promising on Friday night, a 7-3 win, and Boz wasn't at his best by any means, but he kind of labors through five. But they get a home run from Masayo, they get a home run from Gunner. Alonso drives in a couple, and anytime you win a series opener, you're thinking, "Hey, I mean, we're on our way to at least winning a series." And then they drop the next two, right? And that's probably, I think it's the fourth or fifth time that's happened this year, where you win the opener, and at that point, you're thinking, "Hey, series win at a minimum, right?" I mean, you're thinking even more than that, and
Well, if you're going to be a competitive team, you have to think that way, right? That's the way you think till you wake up Monday morning, you're on the plane to Seattle, and you're like, oh, what happened, right? Like,
yeah, and I mean, it's just, we talked about it going into this series. I mean, this was not a San Diego team that was playing well whatsoever. I mean, they were really struggling here of late. And instead, they're the team that scrambles and recovers to win a series. And then, you're leaving and going out on the West Coast. You do get a day off. I think that's beneficial, certainly. They played a lot of baseball here, not many days off here of late, but you're back to 500. You're going to Seattle, who did not have a good weekend over. Against the Nationals right down the road. So you're hoping maybe that's a sign that they can go out there and play well and win a series after they had to scramble just to get a split against the Mariners this past week. But it doesn't get easier after that. They go to Chavez Ravine and they're playing the defending world champions. And okay, they'll face the Angels on the final leg of this three city, I guess, two and a half city road trip, right? I mean, LA and Anaheim aren't exactly the same, but so close to each other. But you certainly don't want to go out there to the West Coast and, put up a 3-7 or something like that. Then once again, you're talking about, you're kind of close to circling the drain at that point in time. So it's going to be big for them to go out there and regroup from a disappointing weekend, a underwhelming homestand in general, right? 3-4. It's their
you said
first
three and
losing.
seven. They're playing nine, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Not
No,
you're right.
I don't want to be
Yes.
corrective. I'm
I
just
was
like,
no,
so
no. I was thinking of
the
the. I
only
was thinking
reason
of the.
I'm even bringing this up is Pat Schroeder, my one-time Section 513, my one-time roadie for Ridgemont High. He is one of the 10 individuals in my life who still texts me angry shit about the Orioles. When they do stupid stuff, I get personal texts from him, and he texts me they'll be 10 games under by the time they get back. And I'm like, hold on. They can go 3-6. They can go 2-7. They can go 1-8. They can go 6-3. But so I was trying to do the math on how they would be 10 under, and I'm like, oh yeah, they can go 2-7. So
Right.
I had to fart with the math a little bit
Yeah,
to make it
I
work for him. But I'm thinking to myself, like, He might not be wrong.
Well,
The grander point is they can't put a 3-7. They can't put a 3-6. I don't know. This is a tough trip for them. And where they are right now, it's the Pasayo thing with Albernaz last week, that didn't smell good. There's a lot of things that don't smell good, including their defense right now.
I mean, I think, first of all, the last couple of days of this series, notwithstanding, they've swung the bats much better over the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, really, you look at this offense, other than Gunnar Henderson at this moment, it's you kind of look at the runs per game since the second or third week of May. It's much more in line with the best projections you could think of back over the winter when they sign Alonso, when they acquire Taylor Ward, right? So that's trending upward. The pitching, we talked about it a lot over that 7-3 homestand. And that's what I was thinking of. I was thinking about the 10-game homestand was in my mind,
It's
thinking,
totally fine. I was just
but
redoing the math because it's 3-3-3
sure.
because I'd be adding it up. Yeah.
But I just you look, the pitching had been really good for a while. It hasn't been a disaster over the last week, but there's been a little bit of a backslide there. I mean, Bradish being one. I mean, Trey Gibson was not good on Saturday. I mean, you're down 4-0 before you even go up to the plate. I mean, that was reminiscent of what we saw a lot the first 7 weeks of last season when they were off to such a disastrous start. So you have that. I mean, the thing that was frustrating about Sunday, especially, that's the best Trevor Rogers has looked since April. I mean, even the 2 runs he gave up early, that was nothing. That was horrendous luck. I mean, a slow grounder hits the bag and turns into an RBI double when he would have been out of the inning at that point. I mean, that was just rotten luck. And I'm not even blaming the defense in that specific instance either. But they got a good version of Rogers on Sunday, and I mean, they couldn't get anything going with runners in scoring position. They had several golden opportunities over the course of that game, early and even getting into the sixth inning. So.
Even the early runs they gave up were a little slapstick. I mean, the ball came off the bag. I mean,
Hey,
just weird
it was bad
stuff that
luck.
was, yeah.
I mean, for Rogers specifically, it was bad luck. That was rotten luck in the second inning there. He pitched well. If you can get that version of Trevor Rogers, that's much more in line with, okay, not a sub-2 ERA like last year, but a guy that a 3.5 ERA, a 3.75 ERA. Like, I'd take that from Trevor Rogers.
Let's give
But
you a chance to win every 5 days.
yeah,
That's all you're aiming
exactly.
for.
And like I said, overall, their starting pitching has been better in that regard over the last month or so. Here, over the last week, not as good, right? I mean, Bradish with 2 clunkers in a row, Trey Gibson on Saturday. I mean, strike a few more people out. He was able to strike out a few more people, but he also walked people and gives up 2 home runs, like I said, before you even go to the plate to hit. So you
Well, you
have
gotta
that.
expect that from a kid,
Well,
right?
sure. I mean, I'm not blaming him per se. I mean, but that speaks to less than ideal that, Eflin gone for the year
The
already.
difference between my 92 wins and that is Zach Eflin. I was just getting ready to say, you pull
Well,
Eflin out and give me this, you can't expect it to be anything like that.
it's not just that, but it's not just Eflin. I mean, it's Kramer too. I mean,
Yeah,
think how,
sure.
right? I mean, it's those combination. I mean, Brandon Young's made up for the fact that those two guys have been absent, and Bassett has not been as advertised or anyway. But yeah, you still have to make that up. And Trey Gibson, was not good on Saturday. But frankly, I mean, Boz wasn't very good on Friday night. I mean, he was at his pitch count through 3 innings. I think it was 74. I mean, it was borderline miraculous. He got through five, and he was able to get the win. And he didn't give up runs, but I mean, it was a major, major struggle for him with the pitch efficiency. So, but it's just, this is what's been frustrating about this team. It feels like when you get something that's shored up or something that looks better, then something else kind of, you spring a leak elsewhere, right? I mean, even Sunday, and you mentioned the defense, they played really good defense through the first 6, 7 innings of that game. I mean, Gunnar Henderson, even though he made 2 errors in the ninth inning, he made 3 or 4 plays that were really good defensive plays. But it was kind of a, it's kind of a microcosm of this team, right? I mean, they just cannot sustain prosperity. I mean, think about it. They 7-3 homestand, and I think they're what, a game under 500 since then. You look at this series. I mean, Friday night, you feel really good about that, and Right off the bat, Saturday, you're down 4-0 before the bottom of the first inning. And then Sunday, they get a really good pitching performance from Rodgers, but then Rico Garcia comes in and gives up a 2-run homer, right? I mean, it's just there's it's
Yeah,
just
that's
there.
falling down the mountain, right? You thought you had a closer 6 weeks ago. Now you got a guy that can't
Well,
get you out of the seventh inning, right?
I mean, he was. I mean, let's call a spade, man. He wasn't going to have a 0.5 ERA the rest of the year. He's given up runs three out of the last four outings. As long as he rights himself now, look, that's the ebb and flow of a season. I mean, even the best closers in baseball, other than maybe Mason Miller, who we saw
No, but
Friday the
being
first.
on the road to being a closer versus being a seventh
Well,
inning guy and where
I
they
mean,
are
guys
with
are going to give up
Kendricks and
some
where they
runs,
are
though,
with
man. I mean,
Helsley. Well, just where his role's going to be. That's all. I don't know where
but
that's
he's still
going
going
to
to
be.
be. I mean, you know, even after this 4-game stretch here, I mean, he still has a 1.82 ERA. You
Dude, the
know, I mean,
bullpen's been way better than advertised. For
it
all the
was.
time we've talked about in the offseason that that would be their downfall, that has not been their downfall.
Oh, it's had its moments though. I mean, April was really surprising. It hasn't been all that great since then. I mean, if we're calling a spade, but I would agree with you. It hasn't been in the way that they've blown ninth inning leads over and over or something like that, right? I would agree with you. It hasn't been the most problematic part of this ball club, but it's just something else that has taken its turn at times not being good enough. So, I mean, it's frustrating just looking at it through the lens of you have a homestand. It started out bad, right? I mean, they lost the last two in Toronto. You lose the first two against Seattle. You're thinking, oh man, they've lost four in a row, and then they win three straight. And then you're thinking, okay, they're punching back here. That's good. But then they drop the last two, and they lose this series. It's a losing homestand. Now you're going out on the road. I mean, again, it's not as though Seattle. It's not like the Mariners have played great baseball, right? I mean, they're barely over 500. The Dodgers going there for three. Yeah, I mean, good luck, right? And you'd say that about any team, but that's where you look at this thing and say, you better win a series in Seattle and you better win in Anaheim because, you know, certainly on paper aren't going to love their chances against the Dodgers. But we also saw this team get thoroughly embarrassed by the Yankees in the Bronx and then they take two out of three at home. And so, they're what they are right now, which is a team that shows promise, looks good for a period of time, but it's all too fleeting. And then, you know, they kind of fall back down the mountain a little bit. But this is a very pivotal 9 games coming up. I mean, a West Coast trip is always challenging. You know, it's a three-leg road trip out on the West Coast, and two of the three teams are playoff caliber teams. I mean, my goodness, I mean, the Mariners, look at them. Look how close they were to go into the World Series last year. So you're playing them, you're playing the Dodgers, and I don't need to say how difficult that's going to be, how challenging that's going to be. And then, you know, by the time you get to the Angels series, you've been away from home for 7 days at that point in time. You're fighting some weariness there in terms of looking ahead and wanting to get home and everything. So it's going to test their resolve a little bit, especially depending on how those first couple series go. So you know, I'm not trying to sound the alarm that like that it's dire that they're circling the drain, but you don't want to be in a position that this road trip goes so poorly that you're coming home and we're having conversation very similar to how we were talking
Well,
three
they've given
weeks ago.
themselves no rope, right? I mean, that's really where this is with not as poor a start as last year, but way on the wrong road, way on the wrong road. So much of this is on the wrong road that on a daily basis, I don't know that I was. Remember last year, you were like, we were in a state of shock when it just went to hell in a handbasket before it ever started. We had a moment. You know, about Mike Elias day, whenever that was, 3 weeks ago, where we were feeling like it's not going to happen. There's not going to be a season. You know, the more you get into it, we're out on the All-Star break now, a couple weeks out. So there's been a season, and there's also, well, the team in the lead for the wild card's either a game above 500 or at 500. So what you're chasing feels not outrageous. I mean, it's not like you're 18 games back or something silly. You can be that far back in your division, even if you're San Diego in the West and still make a run because of the way baseball's structured at this point. But the optics of this team, of whatever level of consistency would be through the phases of the game, hitting with runners in scoring position, doing little things, running the bases the right way, taking pitches, working counts. And that's the hitting part. Then the defensive part's just horrific. And the pitching part, it's a whack-a-mole. Every time you and I get together, it's a whack-a-mole because they don't really have an ace. I mean, we want to call Bradish this and that. He stunk this week twice, right? Rogers fine, but you're trying to make him a 3.5 guy, which all off season I'm trying to make him a left-handed, trying to make him Jeff Ballard or Dave McNally or something. And then the bullpen, which I want to talk up. You know, I don't. I'm not down on the bullpen. I said that a few minutes ago. You talk about April and this and that. I mean, for the other parts of the team that were supposed to be the strengths, and this is where I hear Luke Jones on my shoulder saying, they're supposed to hit the ball. Don't make excuses for them when they don't hit the ball. All these guys are 1-1s. Cows are striking out. Cows are striking out. Henderson hitting 210. I mean, like, these are their guys. These are their core guys. And I don't know. Until they hit their way out of a paper bag, I'm not thinking they're ever that this group's going to pitch great. So to your point, the hitting has to be better than just good lately. It's got to be opportunistic. I mean, they're not going to get a lot of chances in LA this weekend. When they get some runners on, that's when they need a Weaver, not a Couser. I didn't mean to be mean about it, but that's true.
Well, I will also say Colton Cowser has been one of their best hitters over the last month. Just you know me. That's that's become our stick over 2 years now about Colton Cowser being the case study. But
Go
I
ahead
want
and
to throw.
brag on him while he's hot. You're allowed to.
No,
You know what I
he's
mean?
been really
Like,
good
you're
of late.
allowed to.
I mean,
I'm not going to bury
now.
Henderson while he's cold and say he stinks. But, like, when
I mean.
Couser's hot, I still think he kind of stinks. But that's just me.
I mean, I do want to point this out, and I'll continue to point this out. They entered Sunday. Where do you think they rank in runs scored in Major League Baseball?
You're going to tell me they're in the top 10 or something.
They're seventh
Yeah.
before Sunday. So okay, maybe they dropped to they were tied with the White Sox at 4.74 runs per game. So
I
maybe.
remember a couple weeks ago you were impressed with they were like 14th or something. You know, they were ch climbing the charts, as Casey Kasem would say.
Well, and I think the point I'm trying to make there is, first of all, we have to keep reminding ourselves, this is not the run scoring environment of 10 or 15 years ago, let alone 30, 20 years ago. I mean, runs are at a premium. That's what you find around the league. I will say this, however, and this is, I'm not saying that to give them a total pass by any means. Let me be clear. I do feel it's been very feast or famine, though, in the sense of, they'll go through a stretch where they're great with runners in scoring position, and they'll hang some crooked numbers on the board, and they'll win some games and win some games by scoring a lot of runs. But then you'll have some instances like we saw over the course of this homestand, quite frankly, and more specifically the last 2 days against the Padres, where, I mean, on Sunday, I think it was what, 1 for 8 with runners in scoring position. On Saturday, which Saturday, I still put a lot of that on the pitching. I mean, Trey Gibson just was not good enough. But they were 0 for 7 with runners in scoring position on Saturday, right? I mean, they had a chance. I mean, that was a 4-2 game. That game didn't really get completely out of hand until the last couple innings, right? I mean, they were within 4 runs, 2 runs, so. But it's very, it does run very hot and cold. There's no doubt about that. I'm not going to sit here and say it's the best offense in baseball. I'm not suggesting that. But it does speak to where this team is that, it's just, it's very, it runs just hot and cold. It really does. I mean, if you ask me, like, just taking a step back and looking at the whole picture of this team, 34 and 39 feels very appropriate. You know what I mean? Like, they're still in it, and thanks in large part to the overall mediocrity of the American League. They're not horrendous, right? I mean, we're not talking about a team that's
We've
on their
watched a
way to
lot of
losing 100
horrendous here,
games.
dude. You know, like, we know
Sure.
horrendous here.
Exactly.
Yeah, this
Exactly. I
is
mean,
not that.
this isn't
This is
rebuild bad or anything,
highly
but
disappointing with the
sure.
cast that they've put
Right.
together and the history of the last 8 years of losing, getting rid of Angelos, getting a new owner, spending money, renovating the stadium. You know, having the Red Sox come back to earth, you know what I mean? Having some franchises not feel like beasts, which is the door that's open for them to win 85 games and sneak into the playoffs, and somehow Bradish and Rogers win a couple of games and get them to the next round, and then Rutschman hits the cover off the ball for a, like that's how they become a World Series team, because it ain't going to be winning 103 games this year. It ain't gonna, it's not going to be these guys are going to start to play defense, or the pitching's going to get fixed. To your point, you're bragging on the hitting, and it's still not good enough. Still not good enough. All this hitting they've been doing for a month, what are they? Three games over 500 since their bottom of their pit when they were eight under? I mean, that ain't saying much over a month. They're picking up a, that's not picking up ground for me.
I mean, it's picking it up a little bit, but it's not a springboard, right? From them when they had the homestand that all point, right? And not to say they're going to continue to play 700 ball, right? I'm not saying literally send three every 10 games. I mean, that's, that you're not going to do that. But I didn't want to see then, a 3-3 road trip was okay. I can live with that on the road, but then you come home and you have a 3-4 homestand, right? Against a Seattle team that's okay, right? I mean, they're better than the Orioles. I want to be clear on that, but they're not a juggernaut, right? They're not playing great baseball. You saw what happened to them against against the Nationals over the weekend. But you wanted to see them come home and, have a 5-2 homestand then. Then that's when you're getting closer to 500, maybe 500, you move a couple games over 500, and at that point you're hoping your confidence and the mental part of that, you're starting to feel like a good ball club again. I mean, these guys talk a lot, and I don't mean this in a like with bravado, but they talk a lot about, we know how good we are, we know how good we can be. And it's just one of those things, when you hear that, you're just, you're thinking, okay, well, why aren't you showing it more consistently then? You know what I mean? And look, no one's going to sit there in front of cameras and in front of microphones and say, oh, we stink, right? And they don't stink in the way that you think of the worst of the worst, last place rebuild era Orioles. But for me, I just kind of think this is more of the same of the last 2 years, right? We're coming up. This coming week is going to mark 2 years since you and I were sitting at Costas. And they were finishing up that series in the Bronx that was heated, right? They won two out of three. That was on the heels of they had had that series against the Phillies at Camden Yards. We were talking about that potentially being a World Series preview, where they won two out of three in that series. And that was even with Bradish going down in the opener. I mean, that you and I said it at that point in time. We were wondering if they were the best team in baseball. They certainly. I mean, record-wise, they were in the top three right there with the Yankees and the Phillies at that point in time. And, they were, I think the record was 49-25. I mean, they're talking about not just 100 wins, but were they going to challenge the 69 Orioles, the 70 Orioles, right? I mean, like that kind of space. And it's like it just stopped. And they really have never recovered. Now, they've had some stretches that have been better than others. And they've, like last year, the first 6 weeks were, rebuild era terrible, right? I mean, in terms of their record. But, like everything we're talking about, and, we can sit here and we can look at the schedule, we can look at the wild card standings, you can look at this or that, or if that goes really well, if that surprises you, if that stands firm, if they can stay healthier, let's say. But that's not what this was supposed to be a couple years back, right? I mean, the idea was Mike Elias was supposed to be building a juggernaut, right? And I don't mean that they were going to win 101 every year. It's really hard to do that. And we've even seen the Dodgers at times not look like this unbelievable juggernaut of a team that's going to win 115 games. And, I mean, we've seen
But
the
this was
Dodgers
an
won.
era they were going into that was the promising era. It was the
Right.
good side of a Phillies, Braves,
Right.
Indians era, not
Yeah.
this purgatory of whatever this has been for 43 years, which
Yeah.
is not
I
good
mean, it
enough.
just, well, and again, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I'm trying to keep it in the present as much as I can, just where it was in 20, from the July of 22 through June of 24. I mean, that 2 year stretch, the Orioles, in terms of wins and losses, go look at what their record was stacked up with anyone else. I mean, they were very high up on the list over those 2 years. And of course, they didn't win a playoff game, didn't win a playoff series, obviously. So you had that disappointment. But, you just look at it. I mean, we're kind of, I feel like we keep trying to talk ourselves into them being good enough. Like that's what I feel like we're doing on a day by day, series by series, week by week
Because it's
basis.
happening in front of me, dude.
Yeah,
I,
I know.
you know,
I'm
like, yeah,
right.
because every day they show us who they are and how they're playing and what their
Yeah.
ceiling is. And these walk-off home runs and stuff, that doesn't get me excited. What gets me excited is when they win 6-2, shut the door, starter makes it 6 innings, two or three of their stars step up with a couple of hits tonight, and they don't strike out in double digits. And if they kick the ball around 3 times, they only get charged with one error because that's a good night for them. Kicking the ball around 3 times is an over-under on them. They never have a clean sheet. Never. So, I mean, even when they screw up, sometimes it's not an error, sometimes it doesn't show up on the scorecard, just decisions that are made. Not errors on the scorecard. A clean sheet, a clean game defensively. They're incapable of doing that. Meanwhile, I see Machado come in here and play third base like it's effortless, you know? Just like the ball gets hit down there and it's just like a vacuum sucked it up and he's going to count to three, pat his ball, and then the ball's just going to be on a line. Like, and then Pavin Palmer talk about J.J. Hardy and Machado, and then Pimp Belanger and Brooks. I looked up the 66 Orioles. Aparicio and Brooks, both Gold Glovers. How Palmer didn't bring that up, I have no idea. That I wasn't around in 66, but I was around in 14. And, you know, I'll say this defense. Even on nights when they're going to get really good pitching, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. That defensive part of this, I can't get over how bad it is on a, like in a general sense, how
I mean, it's all stemming from the ninth. And look, they made 3 errors in the ninth inning. They still weren't beating Mason Miller. I mean, it didn't matter. I hear you. I don't know. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And
I
that's a
didn't mean to
bad
cut you off.
taste in my mouth. And we're in a weird delay anyway. So you can have at it. I mean, my angst is my angst about all of it. But I do agree with you when you're like, we're talking ourselves into how bad they are. Yeah. Because I spend 3 hours a night with them every night and they don't smell like a good baseball team right now. That's all to me.
I mean, you are what your record says you are, right? And I think they've been better in areas. Certainly, their offense has picked it up over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I think the numbers would bear that out. I've already said in our conversation and in other conversations that relative to run scoring around baseball, that it's not a bad offense, but it's a very feast or famine offense. But you do look on the flip side, and you were talking about the defense and, what happened in the ninth inning. I mean, a 2-run lead was insurmountable against Mason Miller, let alone a 3-run lead. I mean, that was just kind of insult to injury at that point. The defense, I think, over the last month has been better. Is it ever going to be good? No. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's going to be a good defensive club. I think at times they've been cleaner, and the times where they've been cleaner, they've been a little bit better overall, right? But yeah, as you look at that overall profile, even if we give them plus offense overall, even if it's not as consistent as you'd like it to be, which some of that is just baseball. But I do think you look around the league and the teams that have so much success. I mean, look at the Yankees, for example, right now. And, put the payroll part of it aside for just a moment, just how they play. They're missing Aaron Judge right now. And yet they're a team that's going to be okay because they pitch and they defend well enough, right? And you just look at the Orioles right now and as they're presently comprised, and okay, I'll buy Bradish getting back on a roll again. I'm not ready to write him off. Brandon Young's been really good. Boz has been much better than bad over the last month. You hope Trevor Rogers, what he did Sunday, he can continue looking more and more like that. Dean Kramer's probably going to be starting a rehab assignment here in the not too distant future. He's ramping up. But even with all that said, it's not going to be a top five starting rotation in the American League, right? So you look at that, you look at the pen. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. Ryan Helsley's going to be back on this West Coast trip. I mean, he had two rehab appearances at Norfolk over the last 4 days. Looked good, barring a unforeseen setback or him not feeling good again or something like that. The velo, by all accounts, sounds like it was really good, so they're going to get him back. But you just kind of look at the whole ball, right? Put it all together, lump it all together, the whole pie. And I'm with you. Like, I think it's okay. I think at times it looks pretty good. But is there a run where it's going to look great? It's tough to envision this being consistent enough where they really get on a roll, right? And that's where you just look at this thing, and that's where for 2 years now, right? We're coming up on 2 years since, as we mentioned, that series in the Bronx where they look like they might be the best team in baseball, and it just feels lacking, and it feels like, again, it's not bad across the board, but it's not good enough across the board. And that's where you kind of look at this thing and say, all right, I'll hear you. The rest of the American League's not very good either, but I don't know. Does this team have a run in them where they can not just win 7 out of 10 at home in a nice home stand, but to play like that for, I don't know, 3 weeks or 4 weeks, or to just be more consistent and just win 2 out of 3, win 2 out of 3. I'm trying to give them that path. But then you look at how the last couple of weeks or the last 10 days have gone since that last homestand, where, 3-3 road trip, 3-4 homestand. They haven't gained any ground here over the last week and a half after they had finally, kind of put a dent in that early hole. So we're gonna see. I do think this. I think this road trip's gonna be illuminating, in the sense that if they start getting really sloppy again, like for example, how they looked in the ninth inning on Sunday, then yeah, then this has the potential to be a disastrous kind of road trip, and maybe we're talking about them being 9 or 10 games under 500 again. And then the difference between that and when we were talking about that 3.5, 4 weeks ago is you now have fewer games to make up ground, right? You can tread water and keep talking about treading water, but eventually you start looking at the calendar and say, okay. Well, then when they get home, the All-Star break's going to be right around the corner. And then after that, the trade deadline, right? And what are they going to do with the trade deadline? Where are they going to be mathematically? Where is the rest of the American League going to be? So, I'm not ready to throw in the towel. I want to be very clear about that. But, at some point, my eyes can't keep ignoring what I'm seeing too often, which is just a lot of really inconsistent baseball. And on any given night or any given series or any given week, every part of the game does something. I mean, even Friday's win, right? Go back to the first inning in that game. Cobey Mayo made an error that cost them a run, and Gunnar Henderson was caught stealing in a, and Craig Albernez kind of said that they had a scouting, there was something in their scouting report. He didn't really put it on Henderson. He said Padres kind of did something different there. Whatever. They cost themselves an out on the bases. But even that inning, they finished that inning up 3-1. It should have been 4-0, right? So even when they win, you see imperfections that really show up and just, it just casts a lot of doubt as far as whether they're going to be able to do it consistently enough. And I'll keep saying what I've been saying, even going back to that road trip or that home stand that looks so good. And then show us, right? Win. Keep winning. If you start winning, win some more, right? I mean, it's just that simple. And I'm not expecting them to go on a miracle run here to get back in the, where the Yankees and the Rays are right now, but they've got some work to do for me to really feel a high level of confidence to say, one, they can be one of the wild card teams, and two, they can be in a position come, say, the 3rd week of July, where you say, okay, Mike Elias, go get this, go get X, Y, and Z to help your cause here. They need to play well enough to be in position to do that. And again, it's where we look at this 9-game West Coast trip It feels pretty pivotal in that way in terms of where they're going to be as the calendar's getting ready to turn to July in a couple weeks.
He is Luke Jones. You can follow him at Baltimore Luke, as well as at Baltimore Positive. His football is on the slide right now. The NBA is over with. The NHL's figuring it out. And World Cup is in progress. We're going to be doing the show at Sorrento of Arbutus on Wednesday afternoon. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the Maryland Treasure Scratch-Offs to give away. We'll also be at Greenmount Station in Hampstead next Wednesday after the election. The election's 23rd. On the 24th, we'll be at Greenmount Station. The Orioles are playing in Anaheim. Then they're going to be on the road this whole time. I want to put this to you because I had a listener, Mark, wrote to me about it, and it was all over the internet. And the beanball situation and Gunnar Henderson and hitting their guy in the head and ejections and Stammen and like, where are you on all of that? I mean, we're not the most macho around here, but certainly the way Albernaz talks and the way they go, they had a run-in with Seattle before. Where are you with their demeanor in not escalating things further with the San Diego Padres?
I mean, I'm never going to sit here and condone throwing at people or anything like that, right? I mean, I know what Albernaz said. I know some old school type fans didn't necessarily like it. I mean, I'll say this. I mean, I don't think Trey Gibson was trying to hit Xander Bogaerts in the head. I don't really see. I don't think there was intent there. However, I also can understand San Diego being upset when a guy gets hit in the head, when, there had been another pitch that had come inside, prior to that. At the same time, I also look at it and say, before Gunnar got hit in the ninth, his previous at bat, they buzzed him inside twice. And to me, I kind of view it through the lens of you're supposed to, like, if there's like retaliation, like you get a shot, like, you hit someone, okay, you're going to hit one of our guys, but that doesn't mean you get to throw multiple pitches inside until you finally actually do it.
Yeah, it's not
So,
like the circus where you're sitting there in the dumper where they hit the target.
Right, exactly. I mean, like, to
He's
me, it's
throwing the
like
ball till you hit it.
you hit them, you get one shot at it. And again, I don't like, I'm just, I'm, I don't like that stuff because it can also go horribly wrong, even if you say you're just going to hit them in the hip. But Albernaz said what he said. And I would say this. It's funny. I was talking to another reporter. This was as the game was over. Albernaz had just wrapped up, and we were walking to the post-game clubhouse. And this individual who, covered Saturday's game, he made the point, if that game had been a little more out of hand on Sunday, one way or the other, you do wonder if there had been something going on. And I thought it was even interesting. Like, it wasn't even a pitch, but how about the little confrontation that Walker Buehler and Leody Taveras had, right? I mean, Taveras swings at a 3-0 pitch, flies to the outfield. I mean, and Buehler said something to him, and Taveras had to be restrained to the point where, Gavin Sheets stepped in between him, and then Craig Albernaz came out and make sure Taveras, didn't hear specifically what was said. It sounded like it was just the typical bravado that lingers when something like Saturday happens. So
Bueller said something to another player too.
I mean, he has a reputation. I mean, going back to even when he was, pre-injuries and at his absolute best with the Dodgers, from what I understand, he kind of has a reputation for,
Palmer alluded to that.
yeah, kind of has a reputation for smelling himself, so to speak. But it was just odd, right? I mean, Taveras swung at a 3-0 pitch and flies out. I mean, Buehler should be happy, right? He's the one who got behind 3-0. He swung at a 3-0 pitch, but kind of said something. It did make me wonder if, was there a little bit of history between those two? I'm not aware of anything, but yeah, I mean, I think it's much to do and out about nothing moving forward because well, I mean, they're not going to play the Padres again unless they're facing them in the World Series, right? Which I don't like either team's chances for that at this point. But it's one of those things that, especially when you have a young pitcher who, I mean, let's face it, Trey Gibson really struggled with his command. I mean, he was walking people and, was not sharp on Saturday. But I understand the Padres being upset when Xander Bogaerts gets hit in the head. Thank goodness. I mean, he was back in the lineup Sunday, so no concussion, anything like that. Hopefully, no symptoms pop up for him. But yeah, to me, there was a little bit of, okay, you threw at Gunnar, came inside back-to-back pitches the previous at bat. And maybe if the biggest fault might have been there, maybe a warning should have been issued at that point, maybe. I don't know. But, no one else got hurt. To me, move on. I mean, it's that simple. And, but as far as like the old school kind of stuff, you know me, man. I'm not big into that. I'm just not. I don't like the idea of, weaponizing, something that could go horribly wrong, because we've seen it go horribly wrong, in accidental settings, let alone someone doing something with intent. So, it happened. It was uncomfortable there, but to me, all right, one for one, it should be over then, right? And fortunately, there was nothing else other than, like I said, that kind of weird moment there between Buehler and Taveras, where Albernaz came out to make sure his guy was going back to the dugout, which seemed like a an appropriate move for the manager, not wanting his guy to get mixed up in anything else after what happened Saturday.
All right, day off, night on. Take a nap, everybody. If you're going to watch on Tuesday and Wednesday, they're in Seattle late night. They're in LA all late night over the weekend. There are some afternoon games on Thursdays. I am going to be at Sorrento of Arbutus on Wednesday of this week. We're going to be next Wednesday at Greenmount Station. That is the getaway day. I was wrong about that. It's the Anaheim getaway day on Wednesday, the 24th. We'll be there for that. So 9 games in a row out on the West Coast, 6 in the Los Angeles area, 6 starting things in Seattle, where Adley Rutschman sort of calls home. So we'll see how that goes late into the night. Luke will be monitoring all that. I will be monitoring it as well. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.